Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Team Never Quit podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. Becoming a member at Navy Federal can help you earn more and save more. You can learn all about this at NavyFederal.org.
Everybody has fear. Team guys have fear. We're not fearless. What we do is we overcome our fear because we have courage. Courage is not the lack of fear. It's what you do in the face of fear.
Team Never Quit Radio. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening and watching, and don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button wherever you get your show. So today, before we get to our special guest, let's kick it off with our weekly Patreon question. This week, we have got, what is your favorite fast food?
Ooh.
I'm going to go Chick-fil-A.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have picked that for you.
That's definitely what I eat the most out of anything, if I eat it.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that someone will say their favorite restaurant is one restaurant, but they'll always eat at this one restaurant all the time?
Chipotle is also good.
What do you got, man? What's yours?
I'd say Thai food.
What is it?
I got a Thai place right across the street from me. It takes 10 minutes.
Thai food.
Yeah.
Is that considered fast food? I think so.
What's yours, babe?
What is this, any fast food?
Isn't yours Whataburger?
It's Whataburger.
Yeah, Whataburger's, Marcus.
Any self-respecting Texan would answer that question appropriately with Whataburger.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Yeah, Whataburger. I would say probably Taco Cabana.
Yeah.
I like tacos.
Taco Bell over Cabana, though.
I'll
Taco
do
Bell's
either.
Good too, man. Taco Bell's good, too.
All right, that's a good Patreon question.
All right, brother, man. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing this. I'd like to start with a little bit of the backstory on how you got to where we're at right now. And to do that, man, where were you born?
I was born in Connecticut, a little town called Talon, Connecticut. It's about 15 minutes east of Hartford. So, yeah, I spent my whole life there. Grew up with an awesome mom and dad. My dad's my hero. I'm the oldest of three siblings.
What are their names? Tell me everybody's names.
My brother is Keith. My sister is Rachel. My father is Paul. My mom is Debbie.
Oh, good shout out to the family.
Yeah.
You can't believe how far that goes, man.
Yeah.
You know, say the straight gate to heaven, man, is make mother happy.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. So anybody else? Was the family come? Do you have a background in military service?
No, nobody in my family's in the military. My grandfather, though, on my mom's side, he was He was actually Navy World War II.
Okay, now we're going somewhere.
So I guess, yes, I do, but not my immediate family.
Did you know him?
I knew him as a child.
Yo, so you got a chance to hang out with him?
Yeah, a little bit.
I got to hang out with my grandfather, too. He was World War II, and he had his old rifle in his shed and some of his military. He never talked about it, though. Like he never, ever talked to me about it. You could just kind of see that stuff in there. But
yeah, my dad or my grandfather, he was a, I think he was a GM. You say he was a rifle. I got my grandfather's rifle right there.
Oh, cool. That's cool. What I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That exact, yeah, just like that, man. I remember that very vividly because you love your granddad. Everybody I always talk to, man, like you're not really supposed to like your dad, right? He gets on your ass, and but your grandfather, dude, once you get that G status, that's a whole different thing altogether. Do you have any kids?
I do. I have one. His name is Austin, and he's actually currently in the Navy.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Well done, brother. Did you push that? So, all right, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you push that on your kids, or did, like, his father was a SEAL, so was he like, did you want him to be a SEAL?
No, I actually wanted him to work for me. So, no, he's not in the SEAL teams. He works on aircraft. He's a hydraulics mechanic, stuff like that. He's an AS. So, but he loves it. He absolutely loves it. I don't think he actually, no, he wouldn't do well in the teams. He's just not built for it. You know, it takes a special type of person.
Yeah.
To be in the teams. It's not a better person. It's just a special type of person.
Absolutely. When we say that, that's not a shot at anybody. Yeah. That is just identifying what we're talking about.
We totally understand.
And I couldn't do his job. I'd hate my life if I did his job, but he loves it. So like I said, it's special for our guys in our community for sure.
What got you spun up about the SEAL teams? What was it that you saw that kind of actioned that whole thing?
All right. I don't know if I guess you have to believe the story because it's true. So I actually, after I graduated high school, I went to Bible college to be a pastor up in upstate New York by Rochester. It's called Elam Bible Institute. And I felt like that's what I was supposed to do. That was the calling on my life. I was to be a SEAL. I didn't even know what a SEAL was. In fact, I didn't really know it at the time, but I knew I was supposed to join the military. So I went to all the recruiters. Actually, the last one I went to was the Navy. And I was leaning more towards the Marine. It was kind of, I don't know, felt more manly. So
the uniforms. And I mean, it's like I remember that same feeling.
This is my biggest turnoff, though. The recruiter, there's two recruiters. One was an E7, one was an E6. And the E6 was telling me a story about how he was running around from place to place to place. And he had this bandolier of stuff over his shoulders. And he didn't know what it was. And he starts like having this like tear in his eye. And he realized he was running with explosives. And all he was a stinking mule going back and forth for whatever reason. And I looked at that guy and I go, that's the stupidest story I've ever heard in my life. I do not want to be you. So I went from his office. I knocked on the door to the Navy and I said, what do you guys got? And they said, well, just go take the ASVAB. I scored stupid high in the ASVAB, like most team guys do. And they said, well, you know, gave me the whole list of jobs I qualified for, which is every one of them. And said, you know, they tried to talk me to be a nuclear technician.
They
so
do that. That sounds real. Yeah. I'll put that out right now. If you do well on the ASVAB, you got to work that. Yeah. You got to miss some on purpose, man. Otherwise, they'll stick you in the nuclear field.
That's what they try, man. So,
and they'll throw a lot of money at you, too, man. They'll bribe the hell out of you to go into the nuke field.
That's so true. And they really did try hard to get me there. And they threw there's all these bonuses and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, but you know, I know at this point I'm supposed to be in the military. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I left Bible college for this. So then,
You didn't want to go into the military and be a pastor?
No, I did not want to be a pastor in the military. Before the military.
Chaplain, I mean? I think we call him chaplain.
No, I didn't really want to be a chaplain either. So that was one of my nicknames, though, in the teams was Chaplain Kaplan. So there's that.
That's a good fit.
Which is ironic, because my mom is actually a chaplain in the police force. And she really is Chaplain Kaplan.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh.
Easy to remember. See, yeah, that's so God, that's God the, labeling you ahead of time.
Yeah, totally, right? So then the career counselor gave this whole like list of all these specialty programs. Because none of the real jobs meant anything to me. And they went EOD, Navy, SEALs, SWIC. And I go, wait a minute, what was that one? The last one you said? SWIC? No, the one before that. SEAL. And that's when it clicked. I was like, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm supposed to be here. make me one of those guys. And the person across the table just laughed at me and said, why do all the smart ones want to be SEALs?
This was what we were getting ourselves into. What year was this?
MEPS. It's called MEPS, right? This was 2001. This is actually right before 9/11.
Oh, check. That's awesome.
Yeah, so this is right before 9/11. They said, why do smart ones want to be SEALs? I said, I don't know. Just make me one of those guys. And then the guy said to me, I don't know if it's true. It's probably not. He said, no one from this office has ever made it through that program. I go, I'll be the first then. Just make me. I still had no idea what I was signing up for. Then, because remember, we had the SEAL source ratings back then.
Right.
So that I had to pick a
source
rating. So I picked PR because it sounded cool.
Was that, was no that other reason? Public relations?
No, parachute rigger.
See, I don't even know what that. I don't even know what it is, dude. I mean, what does that say?
Well, it was technically called air crew survival equipment man, and then the actual rating was PR.
Yeah, PR.
So it's short for parachute rigger.
That's right.
I thought that sounded cool because I thought that meant I'd be jumping out of airplanes. Nope, that means I'm really good at sewing stuff.
Right, working a sewing machine and putting parachutes together. That's
exactly right. You know, a tough guy wants to be a Navy SEAL working a sewing machine for a month.
Oh my gosh.
Working out really well in the teams, you know, because I would sew my own kit. It's
a great qual to have because we would have to take all of our kit. Back then, before they gave us all that money, if you had a rigger walking around, then that was a good deal because he could sew all your stuff together.
Yep, and I would actually go into the paraloft, use the sewing machine, and I would... You know, we have like the cry pants now and they got the built-in elbows and the built-in knee pads. I would actually sew knee pads into my camis.
Nice.
Yeah, that's where all that stuff comes from.
Like, whatever, dude, my knees are great and I don't have to wear that stuff on the outside.
Dude, you want to get innovative? Send some stuff to the team guys and let them get out there and tear it up, man. And they will come up with some stuff to make it comfortable, to make it work. That was the one thing about being there is you saw guys do that to everything.
So what class did you go in? Yeah, one thing about us,
we're so creative too. Well, we need to be. We're outside the box thinkers, you know. That's what makes us who we are.
It's unbelievable what these guys come up with, man. And you know what I think that is because when we're working on something, we're not afraid to talk to each other. It's like those ideas start flying and guys just start doing it, and then they just kind of intertwine. What class were you?
Well, I was in a lot of classes. I was starting class 244, and then I was all the way through 248, and I was in every class in between. I got pretty beat up. Never failed anything.
Good for you, man. Did you have a guy die in your hell week? Was that 244?
Guys die all the time in hell week. We had a guy die. It wasn't in my hell week. I think it was the one right after me.
All right, check. Right on. So you got, when did you graduate? Who'd you graduate with?
248.
Roger that. All right, cool. All right, then where'd you go?
I went to, we did the typical, you know, go Fort Benning thing, and then I went to Team One after that.
Yeah. Did you make it through jump school in one shot?
Oh, yeah.
Only reason I ask, I know guys who get rolled in that.
Really? No, we did. We had one guy get rolled, but it wasn't for anything.
It's not for what you think.
Showed up late one day.
Those Sergeant Airborne's, man, the young frogmans will piss them off, and they'll make them stay there.
Oh, my gosh. They hate us so much.
Because now they're all in house,
but they hate us, man. Because, well, like I said, we're all rebels for sure. But you know, like in Buzz, they tell you to drop down, you got to do your push ups. No big deal. Was it 21st phase? And then by the time you're third phase, it's 50. Yeah. When you get to airborne, I think you have to do 20, but they have to do them with you. So it was kind of interesting with our class when they would say drop down, they always called us Navy, drop down, Navy.
Yeah.
And then we do our push-ups, but they're there with us. So we would do it until Sergeant Airborne would quit. We would just wait for them to quit because, you know, we're all tough guys coming right out of Buds. You know, if you're doing 50 in third phase, someone on number 49 failed. So all of us have to do another set of 50. That's just the way it works. It's part of the game. The instructors aren't doing that with you, but Sergeant Airborne's, they do it with you. So we just do it till they quit and yell out zero every time.
Man, dude, I thought I was tough till that. So we had to jump out of that airplane. That static line stuff wasn't for me, bro.
It hurt your manhood pretty good, too.
And what we did, because we got in trouble, too, when we first got there. But then we got a piece of advice from one of the team guys. He's like, hey, hook those guys up with as much beer as you possibly can in the refrigerator in the squad room. He's like, just break in there. So we had to break in there. And we loaded it full of beverages for them. We were good after that. Even if we pissed them off. We were still good, and we did, mainly because we were trying to show off in front of all the cadets. That's probably where that comes from. But yeah, I remember that. Those were the days, man. So after airborne, because now, like I said, we do that in-house training. We actually got farmed out to the Army back in the day.
Yeah. So from what I heard, that because we have our own jump school now, you know, the Army has their own Navy, or they have their own dive school now, but they tried to pull our jump. I don't know, the authorities, if you will, that give us our wings. They tried to pull that from us because they wanted to have it. The Army wanted that program. So, all right, well, we'll take the dive school away from you guys because the Navy wants that program. Like, okay, you guys can have the jump and we'll keep the dive.
Family infighting.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
You know what I'm talking about? It's almost worth, especially at a young age, when you send us into the Army, so you know how the Army works, because we're going to do interop.
It's kind of true. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like,
I do know what you're talking about.
We piss off the instructors, but at least you get to know the guys, because I'm still buddies with the guys I went through my class with.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and we worked with a lot of them.
Yeah, it did help when you had, you know, the Army Airborne wings.
It did.
You know, and you could talk about that sucky experience at Benning. You spent there for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it was.
Right.
It does suck. It's like, it's legitimately 2 days worth of training that takes a month to do.
I looked out the window after the last jump, and this one of the Sergeant Airborne just walking by. Like, hey, Sergeant Airborne, you want to go get a beer? He goes, can you spell airborne? You know how they are, right? And he's like, can you spell airborne with the number of jumps you got? And I, of course, I had to use my hands. I was like, I don't think so. And he goes, then we can't have a beer. And I was like, roger that.
Oh, man. I'll be really back. It's like that?
Yeah, yeah. He came at me like that. I thought that was cool. I mean, because they're full of that. Them Army guys, those instructors especially, man, they can, the shit they say, God, it's funny. All right. So after airborne, then where'd you go?
Well, then we went through SQT, like all the newer generations coming up. And then I went to SEAL Team 1, and I spent 3 platoons at Team 1.
Did you have any problems in what was the one thing in Buzz that got you? You got hurt, right?
Oh, I got hurt a lot, yeah. So when I was in class 244, I put a stick through my forearm on the obstacle course. Oh, that was pretty miserable. Oh. And then that was an indoc, actually. And then remember, did you know Billy Lyman?
I was his roommate for a while. I do know him.
So you know Billy Lyman. So he was an instructor for me.
A great instructor.
He's the iconic, in my opinion. Like, if I think of a Buzz instructor, he's the guy.
That's why I've said that like that. Yeah. I mean it just like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's the guy. He's the greatest dickhole on the planet.
He can turn it on. That dude can turn that on like you can't, but just the coolest dude. Laid back. He is the coolest dude, man. But when
surfer.
Oh,
yep.
Dude, when he would roll in that convertible with that freaking surfboard hanging out of the side of that, and he looked exactly, looks like he is a surfer and a SEAL. Yeah. God, dude, that guy, the something would come out of his mouth.
Cool. So it's the second day of indoc, which is really the first day of physical training. And the first thing that we do in the morning is the obstacle course. And I don't really, you know, you got the uneven bars, you shimming up those, and you got the tires, and you hop on the vertical post coming up out of the ground, and you throw yourself onto the first wall, the low wall. You know, then the next one's the high wall. So you throw yourself onto the low wall like I did, and my heart's pumping like crazy because I'm excited. I'm in Buds, and, you know, you got like 300 guys with you, and you're like, oh, this is going to be cool. I'm going to be the guy that doesn't quit. Everyone else can quit, but I'll be the guy that doesn't quit. And I'm running, and I throw myself onto that wall. And when I hop off the other end of it, I hear a snap. So whatever, my adrenaline's pumping like crazy. I run up to the next obstacle, the high wall. That's the wall with the rope coming down. So I go to grab it, and my hand doesn't work. What the heck? And I look at my arm, and I actually thought it was a bone sticking out. But there's a big old stick coming out of my forearm like that. Oh,
it went through and through?
Sucks. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, through and through.
That's awesome.
Like an arrow.
Good job, man. You and got arrowed.
So I go back to Billy Lyman, who's right there at the beginning of the obstacle course. And I go, Instructor Lyman, I can't finish the obstacle course. And he looks at my name tag. Says, nobody knows who you are. It's day one of training for indoc. And he goes, looks at my name tag and goes, Kaplan, we'll go over there and quit. It's like, no, I don't want to quit. And he's showing my arm, like, I can't move my fingers.
Oh my god.
And in his surfing tone, he goes, oh, man down. And you know, it's so embarrassing because everybody has to get underneath. That's like the rules at Buzz. If someone yells man down, like there's guys up on the cargo net and everything, they all have to come down and all eyes are on me and all the instructor staff run over there. And one of the guys is about to rip this thing on my arm. Like, hold on, it's coming out the other side too. You might want to not do that.
Oh my gosh. Sorry,
that's awesome.
It's essential that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's exactly why I've been drinking AG1 since high school. Unlike other brands, AG1 is developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of expertise. Every scoop is a testament to their commitment to quality, backed by expert-led scientific research and rigorous testing. I get asked if AG1 is the real deal, and trust me, there's a reason I've been enjoying it for so long. Quality isn't just a buzzword for AG1, it's a commitment. AG1 is tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, far surpassing the industry standard of just 10. With ingredients like rhodiola and B vitamins for energy support, AG1 simplifies my health routine, and their commitment to quality is exactly why we have proudly partnered with them as a sponsor. So if you want to replace your multivitamins and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and get 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/TNQ. That's drinkag1.com/TNQ. Go check it out.
So I actually had to get it surgically removed. They couldn't just pull it out.
Because actually, you had to go all the way in, huh?
It kind of like did one of these things and went, I don't know. They said it went like 7 different directions in my arm.
Oh, shit. What was it? Where'd it come from?
It was one of the planks from the high wall.
It was part of the low wall, like splintered off. So I kind of slid down and it went straight through my arm.
Oh, my gosh.
It was going to happen to somebody eventually.
Hey, man, just think about all the blood and sweat that got loaded into you from all the guys who've been through there. You know what I'm talking about? That's one way to get hardcore, getting freaking lit, because those obstacles, man, they could tear you through that obstacle course.
That is disgusting.
That's good stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Right on. I would say when I first started Buds, I was probably top 10%. I mean, I trained hard. Once I figured out what the heck I was signing up for, I didn't even know how to swim, by the way, when I signed up.
So, oh, my gosh. There's that.
Well, I grew up, I couldn't even get water in my ears because I would always have an ear infection.
Oh, my gosh.
Taught myself how to swim by going to the University of Connecticut because I grew up in Connecticut. So I'd go to UConn early in the morning when all these old people are swimming laps in their lap pool. And I actually learned how to swim by watching all these old women swimming. And I would just be right next to them mirroring what they were doing. They probably thought I was some crazy creeper, but... That is literally how I learned how to swim, watching old women.
That's funny, man, because we would have to go swim at the Y early in the morning, real early. Yep. And that's when they're in there. Because after the sun comes up, all the kids come flooding in, and some of them can swim. I mean, they freaking get it on. And for a long time. I mean, just swim forever.
Yeah, it make me so mad. Well, you know, I was super lean, so I sink like a rock. And I'm watching all these people. They're barely moving their body, just staying afloat. And I'm doing everything I can just to keep my head above water.
Are you a good runner?
Yeah, I'm a good runner.
And all right, man. My brother Morgan, he's a good runner. I got the swimming genetic. He got the running genetic.
Well, I always tell people when they're prepping to go to Buds, I said, if there's anything you want to be really good at, it's running. You'll become a good swimmer at Buds for sure, but you won't become a good runner at Buds. You'll get worse at Buds because you get so
that
broken.
Is the truest statement. We need to write that down. So I hope that's in the program. And I got told that. But in my head, for some reason, I was like, nah, it's seals, man. We're going to swim. You know, there's not that much running. I didn't think about it. You got to run everywhere in between the water. Never dawned on me. Yep. And you can't learn. So I got hurt in Buds, too. So I got taught to run in Buds by an instructor. Mm-hmm. He actually helped me, believe it or not. He would come in early and teach us how to run so I could get through there. But what you just said is absolutely on point, man.
So that leaves me, I was in class 244, I get rolled back. So that puts me in class 245. And now I'm probably the bottom 10% of guys in the hardest military training in the world. So that sucked pretty bad. I couldn't make a fist with my right arm. I had zero strength. I mean, I could barely close my hand, and I definitely couldn't do it fast. So it was super slow. It was weird. It's like my brain was telling me to do it, but my body wouldn't let me. So now going through indoc first phase and everything with a bum arm. So I had to favor everything on my left side. So everything, every time I carried a boat was left. Every time I was pushing a log over my head was all left. I would support it with my right hand. So I still have the strength in my shoulders and the rest of my arm. I just couldn't make a fist. So I had all these overuse injuries on my left side. Same thing with rowing. Like I couldn't hold the paddle, but I could hold the top. So I'm always on the left side paddling those stupid IBS boats.
Aren't those great?
And then
those are great.
Yeah, sucks. And then but I have all these overuse injuries my left side. So now I'm in class 245. And right before Hell Week, it was El Nino year. So you know those waves get gigantic.
Yeah.
And instructors they find whatever makes your day miserable, that's what they focus on. So if it's warm outside, you're running more. If it's freezing outside, you're in the water more. So it was really, really cold and the waves were gigantic. So you spent all day in the waves. And
dude, they'll put that out command wide. If the waves are that big and they know the bud students are going to get their asses kicked, all the teams will come out and watch that happen.
Good. It's awesome.
It's awesome to see it. It's terrible going through it, but when you're watching somebody have to go through it, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's way better to be on the other end. Right? Well, it's better to be on the other end knowing that you've been the guy in the arena too. So we got flipped by this wave because, you know, it pays to be a winner. That's like the most common phrase you hear in buds. And it was us, and we were at boat crew one because I'm one of the taller guys. And then it was us and another boat crew, and we're paddling against each other. And we're not really paying attention to what's behind, nor am I supposed to. You know, the coxswain's supposed to do that. But a stroke, 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 and a huge wave just picks us up and launches us like we're nothing. And the guy behind me, so I was in the number two position, the guy behind me with his paddle whacks me upside the head and blows out my eardrum.
Oh, God.
Then I hit the water with a perforated eardrum, and that water's freezing in California. And I hit that water in instant vertigo. And, you know, we're wearing our K-POC, so our life preservers. And apparently, from what I was told, because you got your boots on and everything, but I'm trying to swim down, thinking I'm going up to get a breath of air. Because you're in the surf zone, so you're getting bounced around. And then I had a couple guys actually grab me and swim me into the shore, and I can't see anything. And they bring me, I can see, but everything's spinning in all different directions. So they drag me to shore. I'm like puking all over the place because I'm so nauseous from the spinning. And then one of the instructors, if I saw this guy today, I would break my fist on his face because of his sadistic laugh. I won't say who it is because I know he's a really good guy, but I'll never forget his sadistic laugh when he says, looks at my name tag. He goes, Kaplan. He asks, what's wrong with you? I go, instructor, leave that blank. He goes, I said, I don't know. Everything's spinning. My ear hurts really bad. I'm super nauseous. And he laughs and he says, you perforated your eardrum. Have fun in the fleet. And he yells at the guys holding me, get him out of here. Give him the medical. And sure enough, I blew up my eardrum really bad. In fact, I had to get I think it's called a tympanoplasty, where they cut my ear off, flip it on my face, and then replace my tympanic membrane, my eardrum, with a skin graft.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was bad.
That's terrible.
How's your hearing?
Yeah, it happened to me twice in buds. So that was on my right side. That was my right ear. So then I go back into training because, you know, you hit certain milestones in buds in which, like, if you make it through Hell Week, you don't have to do all the stuff before Hell Week. If you make it the second phase, you don't have to do any of first phase if you get rolled back. That's kind of the idea. And that's true for the most part. So I have zero milestones under my belt. So that means I have to start training completely over, to include indoc. And indoc, at least during my generation, I don't know what it's like anymore, but indoc might as well have been first phase.
It sucks.
It was the same thing.
It was the worst.
It sucks. Yep. Because it sucks. Because you make zero progress in buds.
And you don't know what you're doing. You're trying to figure out. It's training for first phase, which is basically the same thing.
That's exactly right.
It was miserable.
So now I'm in class 246. I have to do training completely over again. So indoc was 6 weeks for us at the time.
Yeah.
So we go through that. And then now I'm in Hell Week. And on the second day of Hell Week, you know, we're running around with the boats on our heads in the middle of the night. And I step in a hole in the sand that probably some kid dug right outside of, what's that hotel?
Hotel
Del Coronado.
Yeah.
Right outside Hotel Del Coronado, running around with the boats on our head. And I stepped in a hole and I hyperextended my knee and tore a bunch of stuff in my knee and my And at the same time, my ankle, the tendon that runs on top of your ankle, I tore that. Not like completely, but I tore it enough to know I tore it. And so now I got a bum leg on day two of Hell Week. And then I had such a bad ear infection in my left ear that I actually rotted a hole in my tympanic membrane, which is not crazy uncommon for an ear infection, but the size of the hole was pretty uncommon. And then you got sand packed in there the whole time, so I couldn't hear a thing. It was there's that. And then we were getting surf tortured, and you get water in your ear. Oh, it's terrible. All that salt water goes straight into your middle ear.
My gosh.
Miserable experience.
That sounds awful.
Do you remember?
You ever heard of Stokes? You know who Stokes is?
Yeah.
He's had a run had a run like you. Like, there's a few guys.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, man, he was in Buds forever. Other day, man. He's doing good, but he was one of those that, like, every class, something like that would happen.
You're talking about Team 5 Stokes, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Every time I went to go jump out of an airplane, he was there.
It's the sky guy. Over at Otay. That's what he does, yep. Man. He can jump. Absolutely. Yeah, he checked me into Buds, and he checked my brother into Buds.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
He's been around that long.
Yeah, and when I checked into Buds, he had been there for a while. He had torn his rotator cuff or something. His arm was in a sling, I remember. And he has the best attitude. Like, he was a jovial guy, like real jovial. for the shit. I mean, taking a beating. That's a long time to be in Buds, bro.
So you have two blown eardrums, a stick that goes through your arm, and now hyperextended or torn ligament in your leg. Is that it?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Class
246.
Where it's worse.
Yeah, this is before I ever showed up to a team. So, like I said before, like I felt like this was a calling of God in my life. Now, I don't think you have to be a Christian or have a calling call of God to go through Buds, I did.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, well, I needed that. So I definitely could not have made it. So there's a scripture that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I at least know what it means to love the Lord your God with all your strength.
Yeah.
So I gave it my all. I gave it my all. And where I was tapped out, I was at zero. I don't know how I made it the rest of the way. I credit that to God for sure, because there's absolutely no reason why I should have made it through Hell Week. There's no reason. I literally had nothing left. I couldn't move my leg. My ear was, oh my gosh, felt like an ice pick going through my skull every second of the day. And by the time, at the end, like we low crawl back from, I don't remember,
demo pits
or from Imperial Beach. I don't know. It felt like forever. You're doing the whistle drills and you're low crawling.
Demo
and
pits.
Your forearms are all bleeding like crazy and everything hurts. And then we finally get back to the Buds compound. This is the last day of Hell Week. And they make us, link arms. You're going to march into the water to get surf torture. But they usually say, take seats. And you sit down on your butt and let the water rush over you forever. And it's terrible. But instead, they said, do an about face. They said, about face. And you turn around and all the Buds instructors with the commanding officer with a huge American flag are lined up on the berm. And then the commanding officer with his megaphone yells out. And that was Commander Smethers at the time.
Oh, I know him.
Well, what a great man. He's the only reason why they left me in Buds.
Because
they
should have dropped me
from my medical injuries.
Legit badass.
Yeah. So anyway, he gets on his... I guess I was making fun. Congratulations, gents. Hell Week is secured. And I collapsed at that point. I had nothing left. It was like, whatever, like God came down and helped me. And he's like, this sucks. I'm out. Secured. Sucks, man. And then I literally get dragged off the beach and brought to medical. And at that point, because you hide all your injuries, but the staff's not stupid. They know you're hiding. You think you're being sneaky about it, but they know. And
everything.
You got to tell us what's wrong. I'm like, oh, my leg, my ear, this and that. Everything hurts. And then
he's like, let me tell you what doesn't hurt. Let's just start with that, man. And
then it starts with
doesn't
zero.
Hurt like right here. Yeah, freaking Hell Week.
So they bring me to the hospital. I have to get another tympanoplasty in my left ear now. And then I have to go through physical therapy for 4 months to walk again. I didn't have to get surgery on my leg, but man, I couldn't move my leg for a long time. So that was class 246 that I made it through Hell Week with. Class 247, I couldn't keep up with the guys in walk week, walk week after Hell Week.
After Hell Week.
I couldn't keep up with those guys. I threw away my crutches. I'm like, let's see if I can keep up. Couldn't keep up, not even close. So then I'm told at this time that they're going to drop me from training. In fact, I was so mad because I don't remember the guy's name, but I remember he was Lieutenant Commander 04. He was the doc at Buds, and he said, you know, going through all the physical therapy, he calls me into his office and he goes, hey, Kaplan, because I got to be straight with you, dude. I'm recommending to the commanding officer you get dropped from training. Mm. You know, I was so mad. And I actually stood up and I yelled at the guy and I said, you will not do that. And he stood up, yelled back at me and told me to, he reminded me of my rank. I've only ever twice been reminded of my rank. Both of the times by doctors.
Was your team guy too?
No.
No.
Yeah, no, I don't think a team guy would have done that.
Yeah. No, absolutely, right? So. No shit. The team guy drug you out the back.
Yeah, probably. So then, but apparently he sent the paperwork through. Now, this is all a mystery to me. I was never a Buzz instructor, but how the paperwork works to drop somebody from training. But apparently he did initiate the process. And I only know this because there was an instructor in first phase. His name was Gunnar Hansen. I don't know if you know the guy. He's a pastor now. Gunnar Hansen.
No, I know Dave Hansen. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, I know Dave too. Yep. But no, this is Gunnar Hansen. He's an incredible man. When I was in rollback land under, I'll keep this one to myself too, because it's, I don't like to speak poorly of people.
Yeah. We don't talk shit about team guys on here. So go ahead.
All right. But if I was, this would be the guy only because, he was the guy in charge of all the brown shirt rollbacks. So, you know, you make it through hell, we can get a brown shirt. Yeah. So I'm a brown shirt rollback right now. And he beat the living snot out of us. Like, you're a rollback to heal, not to get more injured. Well, he would injure guys more. And I think he had the right attitude, but in the wrong place. So would have been a great first phase instructor, but a terrible brown shirt rollback instructor.
I remember, so we had that happen to us. There was a bunch of brown shirts and they wanted to clean everything up. And I remember the Blair Witch movie had come out. So they called this the Buds Witch Trial. And I mean, they started hammering us, man. And guys started dropping, started breaking again because they were in that rollback lens, the healing phase, right? Yeah, I remember we had to do one of those too. We had a witch trial.
Well, we had guys that made it through Hell Week that were now quitting as brown shirt rollbacks. And went,
oh, you had
quitting.
A good one.
Oh, like they were.
You make a brown shirt quit. That's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. And they would actually quit. They would literally go and ring the bell as a brown shirt rollback. And I remember there's two guys. And I know for sure one of the guys came back and made it as a frogman. Yeah. But the argument that they presented to Captain Smethers, I'm assuming it went to him. It might have gone to the XO, who was Zinke at the time. They said I wanted to be able to throw a baseball with my kid one day, and this guy, I'm hurt right now, and he's injured me. So I kind of have some respect for that, but especially one of those guys I know for sure came back and made it through. But that was the brown shirt rollback land that I experienced. Wow. It was miserable, absolutely miserable.
You didn't want to be in there, man.
No, I wanted to get back into Buds so that I could rest. That's how bad it was. Anyway, this is during that time where the doctor said, we're going to recommend you get dropped from training at the, like, we're standing watch, like we're standing quarter deck watch, we're standing gate watch, we're doing all the watches and we're getting the snot beat out of us by in brown shirt rollback land. And then, but I did have a night where I was able to leave and I went to Gunnar Hansen's Bible study, you know, cause he's the iconic guy. He's the guy I want to be because, you know, I just came from Bible college. And I do still want to be a pastor in some sort. And this guy's a Navy SEAL and he's leading Bible studies. I'm like, you're the guy I want to be. So I so looked up to this guy. And so I just went to it. It wasn't that profound in any way, shape or form, but the fact that he was doing it was amazing. And I'll never forget because he's teaching like high schoolers and college age kids. He's not teaching Bud students or SEALs. And then I'll never forget that day. So anyway, that's important because later on when I finally did make it through Buds, I made it through with class 248 and I kind of walked into class 248. I've been pacing for weeks now thinking I'm going to get dropped in training, get put in X division. And, but they never sent me. So I kind of walked in, and I could walk now and run. So I walked into class 248, like I was always supposed to be there right after they made it through Hell Week. I made a bunch of friends with them because, you know, the rollbacks are helping with all the medical checkups. Yeah.
Especially during Hell Week.
So that was me. So I'm making friends with these guys like crazy. And I'm so glad because they're all still good friends of mine.
That should be a rule. It's like an unwritten rule. Same thing. I had Snickers bars tucked in my socks.
Yes, exactly.
I went through Hell Week with them so they would know that I would take an ass whipping with them.
Yeah,
and that's I'm still close with everyone in my buds class.
Yep, same. So I kind of walked into that class like I was always supposed to be there. And I don't know how, but I made it through the rest of their training. No one ever questioned it. Meanwhile, back in my mind, I'm still waiting to get dropped the whole time. Like, it's always in the back of my mind. It sucked. But I make it through training, make it through second phase. Second phase sucked for me.
Oh, it sucked. I thought second phase was the worst.
Well, I mastered first phase. I was in it for over a year.
True. Yeah, good for you, man. No kidding, bro. Like, they give you a PhD, like a different size trident or something for some of you guys that go through that, man.
Well, there's that. But anyway, I make it through the rest of the training, ended up with a stress fracture in my leg. Horrible, but still a stress fracture, and it sucked up towards my hip and my femur. And then made it through, healed up kind of quick. And then eventually, go through Fort Benning, go through SQT, and I'm at SEAL Team 1. Well, I go back to Gunnar Hansen. He's now out of the SEAL teams. He's a full-time pastor at a church. And I just walk in, just like he didn't expect me or anything. He was telling a story of when he was a proctor of a Buds class. And he's telling the story about, you know, a bunch of different things. And he brings up as a proctor, he had a student that was supposed to be dropped from training. And he's going through all the wickets of why this guy's supposed to be dropped from training, all medical stuff. You know, he put a stick through his forearm. He's got both of his ears blown out. He's got a bum leg and all this stuff. Right. And he said, he just felt like God said, just let that one go. And he just did what God said and let it go, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And I looked, and after I thought he gave the story because I was in the audience. And I go, bro, that's so cool. I didn't know that was a thing. And he goes, what are you talking about? I go, that the story you told about the Bud suit when you were a proctor. And he goes, yeah, I just did what God said. Like, no, that was me, man. He goes, what? I go, no, seriously, that was me. He had no idea. And we had one of those bro moments. It was super awesome.
Yeah, of course,
we had
all
the Holy Ghost goosebumps and everything. Yeah. And what are the chances? You know, meanwhile, I'm sweating like crazy, thinking I'm going to get dropped from training, totally doubting God the whole time in this calling on my life. I just got my whole body's been broken for nothing. And God totally had my back the whole time.
He's got a great sense of humor.
That is awesome.
The boss. You know what I mean? I think be a team
I don't
guy.
Really like that very much, but you're absolutely right.
you know what I'm talking about? I think the old man might be a team guy because he just sometimes I'm like, woo.
That's so true.
Hey, when they told me that, and I kind of sat and reflected on that a little bit, it was like it has to be that way. It absolutely is.
That is a really good full circle Bud story. That's awesome.
So did you do your whole career at one?
I did all my platoons I did was at one. So all my combative platoons are at one. And then
you
after
guys,
that,
man, when y'all get in there to the one and two guys, when y'all go to those teams, man, y'all stay there. I know they're the first two SEAL teams. For those of y'all who aren't familiar with the SEAL team lineup, one and two were our first two commands. SEAL team two says they're the first command that was actually ever implemented because it's the time change. Right. Did you,
I never thought about that.
Can you believe that? Like, this is what team guys do, man. They'll figure out a way to fight over anything. Like, hey, we were actually the first SEAL team because of the time change. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen, man. But a lot of times those guys, when they get in there, they don't leave, man.
Yeah. Well, when I did my first pump at team one, I was a new guy. I mean, dude, it was awesome. I was attached. Well, all right. So we spent most of our time in Iraq. For a deployment. Actually, I spent all my time in Iraq for a deployment, and we were working with the ICTF guys, Iraqi Counterterrorism Force, which was Iraq's tier one force.
Yeah.
So we got the tier one missions because that was like that massive political shift at that
point.
When
they turned that around, when they switched that on us.
Yeah. And we were hitting all the tier one targets. And
I thought it turned out for us to be better. Because then we actually had a reason to be in there. Like,
that's exactly right.
In the beginning, they'd get mad at us, but like, hey, man, we're just hanging out with your partners here, man. They're the ones that came in here.
Yeah, I love it.
It was freaking great. And,
dude, we were going on three ops a night fairly often. I mean, there were days or weeks, actually, when we had nothing going on. So I would equate it to going on an op a day, maybe slightly less than that. And because sometimes it was three a night, sometimes it was nothing for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but that's right.
I had my LPO, Bo Nankerville.
We love Bo.
He just freaking
you know, Shout out
to Bo Nankerville. Congratulations on your retirement.
Yes.
Welcome back out to the world, man.
Yeah. I love that.
There's a couple names in SEAL teams. You say their names, and people will always automatically perk up. That dude's one of them, man.
Shout out to Bo.
So I'm brand new guy, and we're going out on ops like crazy. And he comes over to me, puts his hand on my shoulder one day, looks me right in the eyes, and he goes, "Cap, you don't know any better, but this is as good as it gets, man. This is the best right now." And I just thought this was normal. This is SEAL teams what I signed up to. You know, well, in fact, I thought the op tempo was too low.
Can you believe that our guys think like that?
This is awesome.
The team guys will complain like that. I mean, you're talking about doing from nothing for a couple weeks and then operating so hard, three missions a night, because we had follow-ons. And they're still complaining about not doing it. That's how the app, you can eat that stuff up. It just, you just want more and more and more. Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
We live to work.
And he was right.
That's what we trained for.
I mean, that was a team guy.
He was absolutely right.
He was absolutely right.
I thought he was joking. And then I went on a PI deployment after that, you know, doing the whole PACOM Philippines deployment. I was like, oh, man, dang it, Bo, you were right.
Okay, so I actually had to do my PACOM deployments first. I wish I could have done the combat ones and then went on the PACOM to kind of smooth it out. You know, like an easy kind of, not that the PACOM boys don't get their asses kicked sometimes, because they freaking do. But it's just a different AO.
Totally different. Not only a different AO, it's a different mindset too.
Yeah, thank you.
Everything about it is different. I mean, it's important. I don't want to take that away, but you think you're going through buds, getting your butt kicked every day. You didn't do that to do a PACOM deployment. You did that to do the CENTCOM deployment. You want to go where the fight is. And when you're a young guy, and you're relatively new, you don't truly understand the big strategic
picture. You're not supposed to. I truly think you're not supposed to. Those team guys that they think like that, and I'm telling every team guy that's young, if you're like, hey, I want to go get in the fight, good. That's what absolutely want you to think like that.
Yes.
You know, we'll pull you back once you've gone over the edge too far, for sure.
Yep, totally. And obviously now a bit older, and especially as a bit of an entrepreneur and a business owner now, I have to see the big picture. I never made it up through the ranks in the Navy, so I ended up being in E6. I actually got medically retired. So I never made it to chief or above, and I was definitely never an officer, but I did work as a country officer, Unit 1, working in Indonesia, working in Hong Kong, and a bit back in the Philippines, where it was nothing but the strategic picture.
Yeah.
So I left the tactical world and went to the strategic world, so I really did get a good taste of all of that, and then that very much transferred over, more so than being a shooter in the teams, as an entrepreneur. So as an entrepreneur and business owner, what I did as a country officer transferred over way more than anything else.
Bro, hold on. I thought the autonomy of being an E6 and getting dropped into that world was the blessing.
Oh, for sure. That's
just kind of like the gray man.
The best place to be as a Navy SEAL.
Oh, it was the best. Absolutely the best.
Well, they
man.
Said, remember, it was always the E5 Mafia for a long time.
The Mafia, you didn't want to leave there. You never wanted to get out of the Mafia.
Yeah, just be a E6 non-LPO. Boom. That's the best position in the.
That's where you can survive. You know, that's where you. That's the feed breed kind of that. Yeah. That is a glorious place to live.
I'll one up it. Being an E6 non-LPO as a Navy SEAL, augmenting Damneck. That's the best.
Non-married.
I agree. Non-married for sure.
Not
seriously, can it get better than that? Dude, as a SEAL?
Well, you got me thinking now. See, we're down in a rabbit hole here, bro, because I'm gonna write some stuff down. I was like, ooh, and we need to add this qual too, because
okay.
I'm sorry.
So
and non-department head, not anything. You're just a straight up you're a shooter. That's it. You're a shooter. You're
you got a freaking bag.
You're a shooter
with
the best team in the world.
Fly anywhere at any point in time and check that. Huh? That's the life.
Okay, well, yes. I know that we are on a time crunch, and I want to get into because what you're doing right now is so freaking cool. So can you tell us about like how you even got into this world and what you're doing now?
Yes, I was bored. I had to do something.
Dude, that's the worst thing and the best thing for our guys, especially when they get up.
That's exactly right.
That happens to them.
So I got medically retired. I got there's no medical reason why I should be going through what I'm going through, but essentially my body throws blood clots all over the place. And I had three pulmonary embolisms, well, bilateral in three different spots, and should have taken me out. Normally when that happens, you know, people last a couple hours typically, and then they die. Well, I was 5 days into it as a tough guy, frogman. And I was in Fort Hunter Liggett training for, I was at trade at three. So I'm training all the SDV guys. We're going there doing land warfare. So I was the trip lead and everything, very stressful actually doing all that. But I was doing all the training, all the logistics, everything. So I show up early. So I'm in the gym and I do not look like the type of person that should be lifting the type of weights I can lift. I don't have the body size to prove my strength. I just look like a skinny dude, but whatever. So I'm in the gym and I'm just doing my warmups for my bench. I warm up with 225, I do it like 25, 30 times. I'm just doing it. And I'm just out of breath. I cannot catch my breath. It's the weirdest thing. So I decided that I'll go for a run. This is 5 days into this of not being, I haven't slept either. If I get vertical, I'm sorry, if I get horizontal, I stop breathing. I can't breathe. I pass out for the wrong reasons.
What about
when so I have to
stay vertical? If you're diving?
No, this is it just
after
happened.
His embolism.
Oh, check. All right.
So the doctors kind of threw it up to saying, because I've been blown up or been around a lot of explosions. They say my body doesn't chemically regulate itself properly anymore, whatever that means. So who knows? I think that's doctors kind of quitting on me, to be honest. So, but I couldn't catch my breath. I'd go for a run and I'd make it maybe a quarter mile and my whole world is spinning and the curtains are closing in. And then I get on the phone with my wife. My wife is the Commodore's working as the Commodore's aide over at Group 3. So I call my wife and I go, "Hey, I can't breathe." She goes, and I said, "My chest hurts so bad." And I'm just thinking, I don't know, something weird. I'm not thinking anything crazy. She goes, "Oh yeah, you need to go to the hospital right now." I'm like, "I'm going to the stupid hospital. I got all this training I got to run." She goes, "Okay, that's cool. Hold on." She hangs up on me. Because she knows I'm super stubborn. So she goes and gets the command medical officer, Captain Swanson. You know, Captain, so in 06, remember I told you there's only two people have ever told me to stay in my pay grade? Yeah. They're both doctors. So my wife calls me back and I go, "Hey, babe." And I'm all out of breath just trying to talk. And he goes, he's so funny. He goes, "Yeah, I could be your babe, but this is Captain Swanson." "Oh, hey, sir, how you
yes,
doing?"
"Sir. Yes, sir."
He goes, "So I heard you have chest pains and shortness of breath." I'm like, yeah, but I'm good. And he goes, no, you need to go to the hospital right now. And I go, "Oh, all due respect, sir. I got a lot of stuff I got to get done." He goes, "Okay, that's cool. I'm an 06, you're an E6, and I'm commanding you."
And ends the conversation right then and there when they drop that out.
It was the weirdest thing because in the teams, we don't talk like that to one another. You know, there's that.
Yeah.
We have it's all reputation. Rank's involved, but not really.
Not really. Not really. I think that's why it hits us harder because it doesn't happen to us a lot.
Super hard.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I had the same feeling too. When they drop it on you, like, "Oh, man," you know, I guess I don't know what that is.
Ever wonder what magic feels like? Selling with Shopify. When we first started Team Never Quit back years ago, we had no idea how to create an online store or what it entailed. But now we're expanding and tracking orders with ease, all thanks to Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from first launching your online shop to reaching that million-dollar milestone. And whether you're selling scented soaps or outdoor gear or you have a service business, Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system has got you covered. Shopify turns browsers into buyers
with internet's best converting checkout rate at 36% better than any other platform out there. With Shopify Magic, their AI-powered all-star, you can sell more with less effort. Whether you're selling a little or selling a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Businesses that grow, they grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/TNQ. Go to shopify.com/TNQ and start growing your business. That is shopify.com/TNQ.
Well, it was the weirdest thing. I'm like, I look over to my, to the rest of my guys, and like, I've been commanded to go to the emergency room. I guess I got to go. So they drive me, and I was pissed, dude. They drive me so mad at my wife. I'm mad at my wife for all the wrong reasons. And then anyway, I get there and they do all the x-rays and they do all the blood tests, the D-dimer test and all that. And the guy whips open the curtain and goes, "How long have you had these symptoms?" I'm like, "I don't know, like 5 days, I think." The guy goes, "You're supposed to be dead." Like,
oh my God.
I am, you know, new standard.
He goes,
"New standard."
Longer. He goes, "Yeah, like this guy, he's just like a, he's just a nurse. If he's like a frog man, dude, he's like, no fluffiness or anything, no bedside manner whatsoever. He's just like, you're supposed to be dead right now. We need to pump you full of blood thinners to see if you make it through the night." I'm like, "Oh, it's like that. All right." So, that was one of the most painful nights of my life. They pumped me full of blood thinners and everything starts breaking up. And I had to have two nurses underneath me hold me up, because if I lay down, I'd pass out and die. And guys would be on rotation. And then SEAL Foundation was called. They sent my family out. They sent my friends out to basically say their goodbyes to me. And because the doctors actually said that I'm going to die.
Oh my God.
There's zero way this guy's going to make it through. Hmm. So I ended up not dying, clearly.
Thankfully.
And then
you should call him and remind him of that.
their hospital got blacklisted because of that. There's a lot more story to that, but maybe for another interview, a different time.
Yeah, roger that.
So, but eventually I get medically retired after 16 years in the SEAL team. So I get a medical retirement. During that time, I'm staying at Jim Beck's house. I don't know if you know Jim Beck, another team guy, awesome guy. He's actually walking right past me right now. Hi, Jim. Exactly. I stayed in his house for a year and a half. Yeah, it was supposed to be 3 weeks.
Was he waiting for me to talk shit on him? Because I don't do that.
He can't hear you anyway. I got my earbuds in.
Yeah.
He's staying at my house right now because he's moving. But he's moving to Virginia. So I'm staying at his house. It's supposed to be 3 weeks. And because that's what I was told. Like, you've been deemed unfit for the Navy, and it's a matter of whether we separate you or we retire you. It's based on percentages, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, whatever. So 3 weeks. Well, then they said, well, it might take up to 9 weeks. I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta call Jim and tell him it might be at his house for 9 weeks. It's a long time to be a guest in someone's home. So I called him up, like, "Hey, dude, this might be up to 9 weeks." He goes, "All right, let me talk to Danny." Danny's his wife, sweetest lady in the world. And he goes, "She says it's cool." All right, cool. So I'm there for 9 weeks. Bro, ended up being a year and a half. Oh, I had no idea how long this process was. So when I started my company, it was straight up out of boredom. I had already, because thinking this was 3 weeks, I had already passed off all my roles, responsibilities to everyone. So I'm kind of twiddling my thumbs, and I don't have an idle bone in my body. I'm working a bit in Hollywood too. So I'm working as a, they called me a SEAL tech advisor.
Yeah.
So I was a tech advisor for Hawaii 5-0, Magnum PI, a bunch of NCI, or not NCIS this time. A couple other shows.
How was that? You like working up there?
Oh, it was the weirdest thing at first, because you go there and everybody knows you're a team guy. Now, prior to that, I never told anybody I was a team guy. Yeah. I mean, people, if they probe and ask, you know, it's not like it's a secret.
Sure.
But, you know, I was, when people would ask, because everywhere we go, you know, you got big, strong dudes all walking around together, going through like an airport. Everyone wants to know who you are.
We've got a wide swath for sure, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, you know, we're always like male cheerleaders. I was a Zamboni driver. I was a blimp line handler.
Prison barbers. Team guy. I mean, you write a book on that. You could write a book on that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't even imagine how many stories there are of all the professions we all made up. In fact, one time we had the stewardess, give a shout out to our task unit commander as the coach for our male cheerleading team on the airplane. It was the funniest thing. Everybody's clapping.
Dude, so we'd get one of the guys that looked like they were from a foreign national, and we'd dress them up real fancy and say they didn't speak English. And then we'd get up in the undercover suits and walk into the VIP section like he was a sultan's son or a prince's son.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we'd grease the freaking door guy $100 or $200, man, and tell him that, hey, man, this guy's a dignitary, diplomatic immunity. That was one of the good ones we do.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So while I'm staying at Jim's house, waiting for this whole medical retirement process to actually come into fruition, I was like, well, and I had sent my wife away too, thinking again, it was like 3 to 9 weeks that this might take. Sent her away to Florida, to Tampa, because that's where all my family lives now. They all moved from Connecticut down to Tampa. So my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, and even her family, who she grew up in California, but everyone ended up in Tampa. So I like, well, maybe we go to Tampa. That's apparently where our people are. So I sent my wife there. We bought a house. She signed a contract for a job working for Lockheed Martin. Like, that's where our life was. Sent my dogs, sent my stuff. And I'm sitting in Hawaii twiddling my thumbs, waiting for this whole thing to finish off. So I figured, while I was bored, let me try to start a company. Why not? Let's see what happens. So I went through the whole process and pretty much took the mentality I had was I want to take all the fun stuff I did as a Navy SEAL and make a company around that and leave the sucky stuff with the teams and just make it fun.
Yeah.
So I had a friend who invested in the company. I had a couple people that believed in my vision. And
well, that's your first step is your vision. Like, were we just sitting around? How'd that work? It's like, this is what I want to do. This is what I think I need to do.
Yeah. I mean, for a guy like you or I, it's not hard. So it's we could do anything. Honestly, we could do anything.
Yeah.
Take a team guy and give him a task or give him a vision. Done. It's just a matter of time. That's all it is. You'll figure it out or you'll find the right person to help you to figure it out.
Yeah.
So I bought a boat, got it. Well, we were in Coalina at first. You remember Coalina?
I sure on the do. West side.
So we're in Coalina doing high end snorkeling and scuba tours. And we just, it doesn't take much, but it does take something. You just treat people like you'd want to be treated.
Yeah. An experience. Yeah. Give them a great experience. Treat them
with respect. And you teach them. This is my favorite part. It's hard to impart something into somebody, but it's easy to draw something out of it. So like, I love when someone shows up and they have fear because everybody has fear. Team guys have fear. We're not fearless. What we do is we overcome our fear because we have courage. Courage is not the lack of fear. It's what you do in the face of fear. We're very courageous people. And what I do, and that's the number one thing that, like, we do all the cool activities, right? Snorkel, we scuba dive. I have a helicopter. Out of helicopters. I totally innovated the entire thing. I didn't reinvent the wheel. I just kind of repurposed it. I took the 3003, you know, the air Bible for us. Yeah. In the teams.
Yeah.
I took the 3003, I repurposed it, changed some of the verbiage so it sounded more civilian, not military, submitted it to the FAA, and they totally accepted it. So now I'm the only operation in the United States of America.
Yeah. I've run across a couple of guys that have rewritten some manuals, and so you're the one that did that?
Yeah.
Nice work, man. Nice work.
So we're the only operation right now in the United States of America. I'm pretty sure we're the only operation in the world that's allowed to take civilians and have them jump out of the helicopter into the ocean or into a body of water for fun.
Gosh.
Like, the youngest person I've had do this so far is 3.
I love it.
And the oldest so far is 84.
So how far do you take them out?
The way that we do it, in fact, as soon as we're done with this interview, that's where I'm going. I got 3 people jumping out of a helicopter. In fact, one of them, we're doing a practice run for Guinness because his name is Dan. He's a world-class free diver. And we're going to try to break the free dive record by jumping out of my helicopter into the ocean to hit somewhere around like 330 feet down and then pop back up.
So this is our trial. Are you free diving too?
About an hour and a half from now.
This is a total rabbit hole. Are you doing the free diving yet? I'm always fascinated with those guys, man. Those deep divers.
Yep. So we have a free diving operation. I can't do it anymore. I used to love free diving, but I lost most of my lungs when I had those pulmonary embolisms.
Yeah.
So my breath hold now is embarrassing. I mean, maybe it's 30 seconds, maybe if I'm lucky and I spend a lot of time practicing, I might get 30 seconds. But I used to be able, I was spearfishing. It was like my favorite thing in the world to do. Spearfishing, catching lobsters, and I really can't do it anymore. So I do all the scuba stuff. No problem.
That's still easy today?
Scuba's easy. So I do scuba. We also do closed circuit. So we do the Poseidon Sevens. We teach all that.
And then do y'all have the side-by-sides, the little carriers, like the mini STDs?
STD.
Yeah, are you talking about the
I know. And SEAL teams, man, we will name nice. Something funny like that. SEAL transport device. It's like an STD.
Yeah, right.
All that kind of stuff.
We have all the DPVs, the dive propulsion vehicles.
Yeah, dive propulsion vehicles. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep. So we have those. Yeah. We don't have the jet boots like they do in the SEAL teams. They're stupid expensive. I could not believe how expensive those things were.
Have you had those on?
Oh, yeah.
I have not. Those came on. They're fun. I've heard about them, man. I've seen that Iron Man suit they fly around with, that other contraption, and I've heard about the jet fins, but I've never had those on.
Yeah, we use typically the Apollos or the Tusas because you can put them between your legs. You feel like a superhero underwater, so your hands are free. And then you could just, all you do is move your hips.
That's an Aquaman experience right there, man.
Yeah.
That's so exactly how do right. people so when you come out here to Hawaii, you?
Yeah, so if we're looking to plan it, if we want to plan a trip to come out there to see you, if people are listening, they want to plan a trip to come out there to do this, how do we go about doing that, brother?
If you go on my website, so it's tridentadventures.com. We named it Trident because obviously, Trident SEALs. So I took all the cool stuff, made it into an adventure. So we do so tridentadventures.com. You can book there easily. So that's the scuba diving, the free diving, jumping out of helicopters. I have a gun range too up at North Shore. So I teach people how to shoot,
using the whole island, like taking them on treks through IA Point and up there around the loop where all that stuff is, man. That's pretty cool.
I don't do that. Not yet.
I was just asking. That whole place can open up, man.
Oh, the whole place, man. It's hard on Oahu, but the other islands, we could do a lot more of that. Like, we have a hunting operation in Lanai. We actually partnered with the Pineapple Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
So we take our helicopter. We fly our guests. This is the coolest thing. We fly our guests from Oahu to Lanai. They shoot their trophy buck, spend the night at the Four Seasons. Then they get to shoot the does after that the next morning. All right. Then we pick them up in the helicopter, fly them back, throw them out of the helicopter. Well, they jump out their own accord. They jump out of the helicopter, take them scuba diving, and then hop on the boat and the back where we started, which is at my shop at Aloha Tower.
And then you get to eat what you killed?
Well, what we do is we actually vacuum seal it. Well, we debone everything. We vacuum seal it and send it to your home. Because most people that we have are tourists.
This is freaking awesome.
Helicopter hunting in Hawaii? Are you kidding me with that?
Oh, it's so awesome. And we hunt axis deer. So, I mean, it's the best tasting deer in the world.
Axis and pigs are out there, right?
Yep.
We did. Yep. We actually, Marcus and
I've done that.
Yeah, we went on a axis hunt on Molokai.
Molokai. That's it's awesome. We used to have an operation there, but we moved it to Lanai.
Yeah, Lanai is beautiful. It's more jungle. It's
absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah,
absolutely gorgeous.
Molokai is more like Africa looking.
They're all different.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate. So I think one of the coolest things about our company is that it took 3.5 years to get this approval, but we're actually approved. Our professional level courses are approved by the VA. So you can use your education benefits. So that's your chapter 31, chapter 33, chapter 30. So all these educational benefits that you have, most people in our generation have the post 9/11 GI Bill.
Yeah.
And you can use that to become a dive master, a dive instructor through PADI. You could also use it to become a helicopter cast master.
Oh, cool.
And I'm actually working on it. I was working on it till 1 o'clock in the morning last night, and I'll be working on it for the rest of the day. It's getting a surf instructor and freediver instructor certified as well. That'll be 2025.
How cool is that?
Oh, it's the coolest thing. And while you're going through those courses, you get your housing allowance for Hawaii, which is $3,300 a month. Tax free.
Like,
it's the best drug deal in the world. It's awesome.
No kidding, man. What about, do y'all do the offshore surfing, like with the big waves offshore? You carrying the guys out there yet to do that?
Not yet. I say not yet because 2025, that is going to be the case.
Get a Chinook, get a couple of Chinooks. You know how much fun? I mean,
I have a Twin Star. It does have two engines.
You know what I'm talking about? That'd be the, when you roll out on a bunch of team guys, because are team guys coming to work for you?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, of course. Actually, almost all my staff are veteran or military.
That's great.
In fact, I got one girl that works for me. Oh my gosh. She's a frogman at heart. But she works for me, dude. She's one of the hardest workers. She's a sergeant major in the Army.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. And I love having this woman around. And I got another guy that works for me. He's very much like you or I. He is a Marine. So he's my boat captain. He's also my course director. And so I got a bunch. I mean, so many people in the military work for me. And we got approved for what's called VRNE, which is, it used to be called VOC Rehab. That's vocational rehabilitation. Yeah. Now it's called Veteran Readiness and Employment. So VRNE, that's chapter 31. So we just got approved for that. So someone could come to us, go through all of our training. It's all paid for. And they go through, well, at least with this guy who's coming through it with us right now, has to go through all the on-the-job training. So the government is paying for his on-the-job training while he's working for us, racking up his time and everything to be a scuba instructor, a helicopter cast master, to be a boat captain, a scuba tech. And it's a 13-month program and it's all paid for.
It's freaking awesome.
What's the age limit, man? Because my youngest son, I'll send it.
Yeah, Hunter wants to become a boat captain. Yeah. He was looking at classes.
I'll be right there.
There we go.
What's that? I didn't hear that.
The oldest one back here wants to be a boat captain.
Yeah.
You want to be a boat captain?
Yeah. I do. Much
boat captain?
I think, doing summers out there would be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could totally do it.
That is freaking awesome. Okay, are you on social media or is your company on social media?
My company is. I personally am not. I'm horrible at that stuff. If you go to like Instagram, it's Trident Adventures Hawaii.
Okay.
So Trident Adventures Hawaii, you'll see all the cool stuff that we do.
Okay. And you have like video and footage that we can use to splice into the YouTube for this?
Oh, you can have anything you want.
Okay. Can I put that video that you sent me? That video, that like
that one, what,
two and a half? 2.5 minute video that you sent me was
So that's called a sizzle reel. I didn't know that's a thing, but apparently that's what it's called. It's a sizzle reel because we're actually making three television shows out of our company. So one is centered around the company where we take people that are really messed up. Either they got some mental issues or their physical issues. And we, through the company, give them all these cool Navy SEAL experiences. So like one guy, Colin Cook, that you saw in that video I sent you, he got his leg bit off by a tiger shark. And so he's missing his leg. So when you see him jump, you'll see him jumping with this prosthetic out of the helicopter. It's so awesome. And then I taught him how to scuba dive and then teach him how to shoot. His wife that's with him, her name is Sydney. She got blown up in the Boston City Marathon. They met each other because Sydney's mother got both of her legs blown off in the Boston City Marathon. So while she's getting fitted for her prosthetics, Colin, who guys like bit up by the tiger shark, is getting his leg fitted for the prosthetic. They met each other there because Sydney was there supporting her mom. So they met each other, fell in love. It's a really cool story. So that the video I sent you is featuring those two as they go through all of our cool Navy SEAL experiences together.
How cool.
Oh, man. Well, great job, brother, doing that, taking the Trident and making something out of it we got in the civilian world. That's good stuff.
Yeah, and it's kind of a fuzzy line, and only guys like you or I and those that are like us in the soft community can really make this type of judgment. I always say there's two types of people that when they get out of the teams, they can either stand on the reputation of the teams or because of their reputation, they can uplift the reputation of the teams. I choose to be the latter.
Yeah.
I choose to take my previous chapter in my life and through my entrepreneurship, through my company and how I conduct myself, carry myself, through my integrity and my character, I want to be the guy that when someone says, because it's obvious I'm a Navy SEAL, right? It's not obvious while I'm a SEAL because I don't tell anybody, but now I do. It's weird. But now that I tell everybody, I want them to look at the teams in a higher regard because of how I carry myself and how I run my company.
Recruiter. Now we're recruiters, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
The only reason we came in is because the guys ahead of us, you heard their stories. Somebody had to tell us.
That's exactly right. And it was interesting when we were young guys, you know, we kind of poo-poo the people that write the books or they're on Fox News or doing podcasts like this. We kind of poo-poo them. But we would never have known otherwise. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. So we want to, you know, like, I mean, I read, oh my gosh, I have a brain fart right now. Rogue Warrior.
Yeah.
like, I wouldn't, like, that's after I signed up to be a SEAL and everything, and I figured out what the heck it was. And I found this book, Rogue Warrior. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I signed up for. This is awesome.
Yeah.
But I would have never known otherwise. Who would know if we didn't have something out there, if we didn't have like Active Valor, the movie, or have your movie out there? Like, how would anybody know otherwise?
Yeah, it's that rule sits on us when you're in. That quiet professional rule, not supposed to advertise our work or demand any recognition for it. That whole thing, especially it's in our creed. When you get out, it's incumbent upon you to carry the values that we learned under the Trident and then also recruit the younger ones coming in. Because the ones who are in can't talk about it.
Right.
So that's why when you're in the teams. When you're out, man, you do the best you can, walk tall, because you want guys to come in.
There's definitely a split of different kind of guys, too. There's the kind, like y'all, that just want to lift each other up and support each other. And then there's some team guys that just want to tear everybody down because I don't know why, what their reasoning is, but it's really odd to see the split and like what makes that. But you're doing is awesome, and we want to go to Hawaii. Hey, thanks, and do bro. This.
I'm sure we'll have to have our ass back out there.
My house is open. I have two spare rooms here. Yeah. You guys stay with me. I got extra vehicles. All you got to do is show up.
Awesome. Yeah,
my wife and I are both good cooks. We'd love to cook for you.
Aw, we love to eat.
We'll blast snacks and stay over there. Yeah, don't worry. We love to eat, brother. Well, all right, man. We'll get out there and do your thing.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your time and your story with us.
Yeah, I really look forward to you guys coming out and seriously come out to Hawaii, stay with me. And, well, I'm sure you'll have a ton of people you want to visit, Marcus, but my house is your house. My stuff is your stuff.
I know, brother. God bless you, man. Keep spreading a good word.
God bless you guys.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.